Some very, very familiar text, Daniel chapter number 6. Well, that song, I Will Sing of My Redeemer. Amen. I don't know of anything better to sing about. Anybody better to sing to than our Redeemer. Amen. And what he's done for me. Here's what I was thinking about. It said he paid the debt and set me free. I don't know if you've ever listened to the Dave Ramsey show. They have these debt-free screams. Well, I can scream debt-free. I'm debt-free. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I'm talking about sin debt now. I'm not talking about just this little old silver and gold debt. I still owe quite a bit of that. But thank God what was the big debt, my sin debt. Amen. I'm free from it. Amen. And I think when they do that, if you've ever heard, I'm not just advertising it, although I do think there's some good material there and good teaching in some of that. This is my thing about it. When they do that, what they call debt-free scream, you can hear Dave in the back, freedom! I'm glad I'm free. Amen. He paid the debt and set me free. Amen. I'm glad I'm free by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to do a little lengthy reading. I don't know that I've got a long message. I hope it, maybe not as much as you hope it. I hope it's not a long message, I don't think. But I've got a long reading. I want to read this whole chapter, chapter number 6. More than likely it's familiar to us. We've heard it since our Sunday school days, no doubt. And yet I think it'd be well for us to read it. And I'd like for us to do, like we've done this a few times, we'll do a responsive reading where I'll read the first verse and you'll read with me on the second verse. We do that. I'll read all the odd verses and you'll read all the unodd verses, my mother-in-law says. Amen. Even an uneven instead of even an odd. I'll read the odd, you read the even, and I'll read them along with you. All right? Verse number 1 of Daniel chapter number 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled themselves to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a decree, who shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he had heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came to the bottom of the den. Well, there's hungry lions. They swallowed them up before they hit the bottom, is what it said. Amen. They was hungry. Wonder why they didn't chew on Daniel. Amen. Verse number 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Amen. Amen. And some churches say, and all God's people said? Amen. He's the only living true God. Verse number 27. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you, Lord. Yes. Help, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen. Thank you for that prayer, Brother Hall. Amen. Well, as I said, this lengthy reading, and by the way, I need to turn this on, don't I? This lengthy reading that I read, or we read together, is so familiar to us. We've heard it who knows how many times. Since the time we were children, many of us learned it or heard it in Sunday school. Many of us learned it at our mother's knee. Moms maybe telling the story, or grandmothers telling the story, maybe reading the little story books. We've done all that. But I want to preach on this account. I want to ask you to do two things for me while I preach it. Number one, don't imagine that this account that I'm reading is just a story. It's not a fantasy. It's not a made up story. It's a historical account. Actually happened. Amen. And matter of fact, history tells us about all these kings and the timing of all these things. And we know from history that all that information is correct. History doesn't necessarily talk about Daniel in the den of lions. I don't need history too. I got a Bible that tells me that. I believe the Bible even if I couldn't believe the history books. Amen. Because God, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. That's how it has to be. Amen. And so we'll believe God. Don't think this is just a story. Then number two, don't allow your familiarity with this account cause you to strip the glory from the story. Just like when you was a kid. You remember when you was a child and you heard this story and you thought of Daniel, praise God, what God did for that young man. Amen. What God did, he's not a young man at this time. What God did for that man. Amen. Daniel, God spared him from the den of lions, let all that other crowd get eat up. Amen. How them lions devoured them, break their bones, the Bible said, and all that other stuff. And God did all that wonder that was in your heart, that astonishment that was in your heart ought to still be there because our God is that great and our God is that glorious. Amen. Amen. God moves in majestic power on behalf of his servants. And I'm glad he does. Amen. And so there's two thoughts I want to give you this morning. And I'll give you my title in my second point. Two thoughts. First of all, I want to talk about the account of this story. And then I want to talk about the application of this story. The account of it and then the application of it. Because it's a historical account and it is. And we have to deal with some of that. And even though it's familiar, I'd like to remind us of the individuality and the points that are there that I believe are helpful and useful to us. But then it applies to us in this day. Amen. And so I believe there's application that we can make from it. You know from history, I talk about the account of the story. You know from history, from reading your Bible, that Daniel was captured from Israel. Daniel was one of the Hebrew children. He was one of the lineage of David. He had a right to the throne. He was of the tribe of Judah. Amen. He is one of those, when Nebuchadnezzar came and first captured people out of Israel, he took the best of the land. He took the king's children and all, and Daniel was in that group. Took those young people, brainwashed them, tried to teach them the learning of the Chaldees and teach them the things and the ways of Babylon. But Daniel, as a young man, purposed in his heart. Amen. Daniel had a purpose-driven life before Rick Warren ever thought about writing a book about it. Amen. Daniel had a purpose-driven life, and he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or with the things that he drank. Amen. Daniel said, I'm not going to do like all them around me are doing. I'm going to be different. I'm going to obey my God. And he had some friends that did the same. We know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those three Hebrew children followed him in the steps. And he proved himself as a teenager. Somewhere in that time frame, those other three young men get cast in the fiery furnace. And the story was recorded. By the way, the book of Daniel's not laid out chronologically, because chapter number 6 takes place when Darius is king, which is way on into the book of Daniel when you're looking at his prophecies. But he gives us the story and then he gives us the prophecies, and they're in that particular way that he gives them, not in the order in which they happened. But in this account, Daniel now is not a young man any longer. Daniel's an old man. Daniel served throughout all that Babylonian captivity, which was 70 years. If Daniel was, let's say he was 19 when he got captured, 70 years makes him 89. He's not a young man anymore. Darius, well, let me back up and say it this way. Daniel served under Nebuchadnezzar. He saved under Nebuchadnezzar's son, whose name was Evil-Merodach. How would you like to name one of your kids Evil-Merodach? And then Evil-Merodach had a son named Belshazzar, which Daniel served under, and that's where the kingdom fell under him. The empire, Babylon empire fell under Belshazzar. And Darius came as king of the Medes and Persians. We know it as the Medo-Persian Empire. Daniel, or Darius came forth as that king. Daniel served under all these kings. And then later you saw in the last verse that we read, he even served under the one that followed Darius, which is Cyrus. So Daniel lived to be an old, old man. He didn't go back when they were set free to go back after the captivity under Darius was allowed to go back. Daniel didn't, probably because of his age. Amen. Perhaps it was because of his position, if he was still in a position of authority and felt like that he could do more for his people even working there in the kingdom. I don't know. But here we are, and this account that we're reading here now takes place sometime during the reign of Darius. And Darius was the king of the Medes and the Persians who had defeated the Babylonian Empire. Amen. And the Babylonian Empire encompassed pretty much the known world at that time, but the Medes and Persians came in and conquered them, gaining that territory as well as that which they already had. And so now it is a world empire. And it's the second in that image that Daniel saw, the lineage as it comes down, the head of gold and then the shoulder and the breast, the strength there that divided kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, that second part. And Daniel was an extremely old man at this time. And yet Daniel had been faithful to his God through it all. Amen. No matter who was on the throne, Daniel was faithful to God. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter who's in the White House, we ought to be faithful to God. Doesn't matter who's in the governor's mansion, we ought to be faithful to God. Be honest with you, it doesn't matter who's the preacher in the pulpit, we ought to be faithful to God. Leadership does change, but God don't. God doesn't change. Amen. And so we ought to continue serving God in that capacity, wherever that he puts us at. But Daniel had proven himself true to his God throughout all that time, but not only true to his God, true to his nation, true to even to his adopted nation, if you want to say it that way, that he had been brought in captive in. Now, Daniel was not treated good when he's brought in captive. He was made a eunuch, and I don't have to go into detail about that. That meant he was fixed so they could never have children. Daniel was sterilized, if you want to say it that way. And Daniel was mutilated, and yet Daniel never got angry at them. Daniel never got a grudge against them. Daniel went on serving his God and his king. Amen. Amen. He had proved himself true. Let me break this story down, give you several points. I think I got 6 points under this account of the story. And each of these, I'm starting with a P, having a couple of them. There's the promotion that provoked envy. The promotion that provoked envy, found in verses 1 through 4. The promotion that provoked envy. I'm not going to read all this again. We read it together, and I trust that it's still in your mind. But you know that this vast Medo-Persian empire consisted of 120 provinces. We might would call them states, or really countries maybe, because they were large provinces. 120 provinces, and Darius, in his wisdom, didn't try to just rule them all himself. He set up, he designated deputies to serve under him, whom he called princes. 120 princes to serve over those provinces. But then over those 120 provinces and 120 princes, Daniel or Darius set up 3 presidents, a tribunal of authority over those that were ruling and were looking out to make sure he said that the king had no damage. And over those 3, he put Daniel as first. And so really, in a sense, Daniel has become the right-hand man of King Darius. Daniel has been promoted from a lowly Hebrew servant, Hebrew captive. Daniel has been promoted one after another, till now he's the top man in the kingdom, second only to the king, Darius himself. And yet by the way, the reason he was promoted is because he had an excellent spirit. It's what he says in verse number 3. And I like that. Amen. Lord, help us have that. Amen. As Christians, Daniel wasn't a Christian. Daniel believed in God, and I think he did. I think he got saved when Christ preached to them, amen, that when they were in captivity in the heart of the earth, I believe Daniel would have believed on Christ. He believed on Christ here already, but he didn't live in this age. But yet, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. We've been saved by the grace of God. Lord, we ought to be of an excellent spirit, hadn't we? Amen, we had. And so Daniel was faithful, and Daniel had an excellent spirit. Daniel was exalted. The king thought to set him over the whole realm, the Bible says. Well, this promotion agitated others. It's sad, but true, that sometimes if somebody gets something better, somebody else gets upset about it. Not just that they want it. You've heard me say this before, the difference in coveting and envy. Coveting wants what you've got. Envy doesn't want you to have it. They can't have it, so they don't want you to have it. Amen. And there's some people, we're living in an envious age, by the way. They talk about taxing the rich. Well, they're already taxing the rich and the middle class and the poor too. We're taxed to death. By the way, they're not just taxing us, they're taxing our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and way on down the line. Amen. That's not a political statement, but I'm just simply saying that that's the land in which we're living. But it's sad that people get envious when somebody gets a promotion, when somebody gets bragged on, when somebody gets something that is good for them. Sometimes people get envious of that, and that is exactly what happened. By the way, these were heathens that got envious. That's not a Christian spirit. It's a heathen spirit. Amen. That gets envious at the prosperity of others. They, just out of simple hatred, simple envy, they hated him. And so they conducted an intense investigation into Daniel's life to try to dig up dirt. I mean, it sounds like politics today, don't it? An intense investigation of his life. Try to find out if there's any time in his life he's ever said anything wrong, if he's ever used a politically incorrect term or phrase. They're trying to find anything that he's done that might be wrong, and yet they could find nothing in which Daniel was not faithful. Amen and amen. They found that Daniel had been faithful to his God, Daniel had been faithful to his people, and Daniel had been faithful to his job and his king. Amen. But it was a promotion that provoked envy. Number two, there's the purity that proved enviable. Verse number five, they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel. And they admitted it. We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. This is what they're saying. Only thing we can find wrong with Daniel is that he holds the law of God higher than the law of the land. The only thing we can find with Daniel is that he don't fit in this world. He's a citizen of another country. Amen. He obeys another king. He's got a king higher than our king. He's got a Lord higher than our Lord. I say amen right there. Amen. That ought to be us. Amen. That ought to be you and I. We serve a king higher than any king. Amen. We've got a Lord higher than any Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. Amen. He's the one we ought to bow to, not to men. And we have a law to obey that supersedes the law of the land. Amen. I may say more about that as we go along. But these men knew that Daniel esteemed the law of God above any man-made law or any decree. In short, they knew that Daniel would remain true to God no matter what anybody else said or what anybody else did. Amen. I say again, wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian had that spirit? Amen. It wouldn't matter what the world says. Amen. We'd be so faithful to God that when the enemies of the cross, they would know that they can find us faultless, except for the fact that they think we're too religious. Amen. Amen. Well, these men determined there's only one way to make Daniel accused and entrapped before their king. And that was that they pit a battle between their king and his God. Amen. Look at verse number 6-9. And I'll say the third thing. There's the petition that prohibited inquiry. The petition that prohibited inquiry. He said, no praying to anybody. No praying to anybody, God or man, except you come through Darius. And by the way, these men, they designed a decree that would flatter the king. King, you're the greatest in the land. We want it fixed so nobody can ask anybody for anything. They're pretending in this way to honor the king. Really, they're trying to use the king. They're trying to manipulate the king. Amen. The king loved Daniel, by the way. It's obvious in the text. He loved him. They're trying to cause him to hurt somebody he loves by manipulating him through flattery. Amen. By the way, the world does that all the time. Amen. Listen, young people, listen to me.
The devil wants you to hurt the people you love. And one of the ways he'll do it is he'll build you up in pride. He'll brag on you, boast on you, and make you feel like you're the man. You are it. You're the dude. You know, the word dude and dud's not much of a difference. Just how you pronounce them. Amen. The devil will tell a dud that he's the dude. Amen. Brother Travis Clayton said some of these salesmen, he said they could make Pepe Le Pew think he invented Chanel number 9. Some of you understand that, some of you don't. That's all right. Amen. But these fellows, they're flattering the king. They're telling the king, you're the greatest king and we want to prove you're the greatest. For 30 days, you're going to be God. For 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody but you. By the way, Babylon is full of gods. Amen. The Medes and the Persians were full of gods. Little g gods. False gods. Fake, phony gods. Amen. They're going, what's another one? So they put Darius up and they brag him up and they flatter him up and they say, we want to make a decree. We're all in agreement on this. All the cabinet have come together. All the advisors have come together. We want to make a decree that for 30 days, you're God. For 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody or ask anybody anything unless they come to you. Boy, old Darius probably got puffed up with that. Probably thought, you know, that's honorable. That's honorable. And so they drafted this petition. They knew that this would make the king feel like a god, but it would thrust Daniel's religion at variance, at war with the Persian decree. Amen. Would Daniel be tempted to extinguish his prayer life? Really, here's what the devil would say. Don't extinguish it. Just put it on hold. Just press the pause button. What's 30 days going to hurt? You've prayed for 90 years now, Daniel. What's 30 days going to hurt? You've seen God do great things. You've seen Israel go into captivity. You found the prophecy that said it only lasts 70 years. You read that in the book of Jeremiah. You believe that. You've seen it come to pass. Israel's now going back to the promised land. You've seen God do wonderful things. What's it going to hurt to press the pause button for 30 days? But Daniel said no. Amen. Daniel said, I'm going to keep on praying just like I prayed before. Amen. But there was a petition that prohibited inquiry. They set the penalty for breaking this man-made law. By the way, I asked that question. Would Daniel be tempted to stop? These people knew the answer. They knew Daniel wouldn't stop. Amen. They set the penalty for breaking that commandment of the man-made law to be execution by way of being cast into a den of lions. Amen. You've heard it said before, and it's true. We say the lion's den, and a lion's den could be a den with no lions in it. But a den of lions means there's more than one lion in there. Amen. Number four, I want you to notice, and this is verse number 10, there's the practice of prayer anyway. Amen. The practice of prayer anyway. When they said you can't pray, Daniel just kept right on praying. Daniel did not waver. Amen. He did not shrink back from rejecting this man-made law. He was going to obey the law of his God. That's what these people said he would do. The only way we can find fault in him, amen, in verse number 5, is that he is concerning the law of his God. Daniel's going to obey God's law. Amen. Daniel was not unaware of the decree. He was not in ignorance. Daniel knew the decree had been signed. And yet he wasn't going to bow to the decree. He was going to continually bow to God. Amen. Amen. Now, Daniel didn't just begin praying three times a day when that decree was written. He'd already been doing that. That had been his practice. That's what they saw. That's why they chose that. They knew he'd been praying three times a day. And is he going to continue to do that? Daniel just did as he did aforetime. You see that in verse number 10? Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being opened to the in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Amen. Daniel was not being rebellious against the law. Daniel wasn't taking up a picket sign and marching down the street and saying, we will not obey. No. Daniel's just doing what he'd always been doing. Daniel's just being faithful to his God. But by the way, he wasn't hiding in the closet either. He's opening his windows towards Jerusalem like he'd always done. Matter of fact, that scriptural, by the way, Solomon, when he prayed that prayer, 2 Chronicles 7, we talk about verse 17, recipe of revival, that dedicatory prayer of the temple, he talked about if these people be carried away captive, that they open their windows towards Jerusalem, towards this place, and they pray towards this place, that you would hear their prayer. Amen. So Daniel's doing what the Bible told him to do. Daniel's doing what his mom and daddy probably had taught him to do. Daniel's doing what he'd always done. He's just praying to God like he always had. Amen. Amen. One preacher said it this way. I think it's pretty good. He said Daniel would rather spend the night in a den of lions than miss a prayer meeting. Amen. You've heard it said, haven't you? Well, Wednesday night, we don't have to go to Wednesday night. It's just a prayer meeting. Daniel thought a prayer meeting was important. Important enough to be willing to die for it. Now, we know that Daniel's going to be delivered from that den of lions, but Daniel didn't know that. Amen. There's the practice of prayer anyway. Number five, there's the pronouncing of the public enemy. They called him public enemy number one, verse 11 through 15. These men came together. They watched him doing it. They knew what he was doing. And they said to the king, now, king, here's the law. And there's no way out of it. There's no loopholes in this law, king. There's no restrictions. There's nobody that can get around this. This is what they've been waiting for. They leapt at the opportunity. Amen. They denounced Daniel before the king. And when this happened, Darius recognized that he was not a god. He was a fool. By the way, anybody that thinks they're a god, they're a fool. Anybody that pretends to be a god, they're a fool. Really? But Darius realized that he had been played a fool. He'd been played like a violin, as they say, like Stradivarius. He'd been played. They had manipulated him. These legislators had manipulated the king into placing Daniel and the king both, really, in a trap. Amen. Now the trap had been sprung. There was nothing the king could do to release the trap. His hands were tied. Looking at this symbolically, think about it with me like this. If you look at those legislators as lions themselves, and their legislative body as a den of lions, King Darius was being cast into the den of lions himself. He is being overcome by these ferocious enemies. And I don't think that's a bad symbolism. You think about what goes on up at the Capitol and over the capital of the United States, the capital of our state, other capital states. It looks like pretty much a den of lions to me. At least a den of liars. Probably den of lions. Amen. Amen. In the most of that. Well, they pronounce him as an enemy. And he Darius falls into the trap as well as Daniel into the trap. Amen. And let me say this too. We're surrounded by lions. And I talked about young people. And let me back up and say this. I was going to earlier and I forgot. I don't have my notes. But when I said young people, be careful. The devil will try to get you to hurt people you love. Let me say to married couples, the devil will try to get you to hurt people you love by building you up in pride. Amen. Amen. Here's what happens. You ever seen people, they don't call their wife their wife. They don't call her their honey, their sweetheart. They call her their old lady. Amen. I've heard people call their mama old lady. You've heard me say this before. I never called my mama old lady because I like my teeth in my mouth. If daddy hadn't have knocked them out, mama would have slapped them out. Amen. Yep. I'd have had dentures way back yonder. Amen. But this idea, here's what the world gets us doing that. We're getting that thought, but she's just an old lady. And if you're not careful, you'll start looking for a young lady. Amen. The devil will build you up in pride. The devil will build you up in flattery. Oh, you deserve this. Oh, you can be the man again. There's what the world says. You can be the man. You can be the dude. No, I go back to that again. You'll be a dud and you'll be hurting people you love. You'll fall into the trap. If you listen to that flattery, and it goes the other way. Here, turn that around with the women. Here's what the devil does with women. Well, your husband don't listen to you, but that fellow on the job, boy, he's just got a real listening ear. Yeah, he does. Cause he's got a plan. Well, that fellow on the internet, boy, he knows how to talk. Boy, he's a good typer. You don't know if he'll work. Hey, man, you don't know if he's even really a man. But he can type good. And women will fall for it. Some do. What is it? Flattery. Amen. Flattery. And it gets us to hurt people we love because we're listening to the flattery of the devil. Amen. Or devils. Amen. This king fell for it. And Daniel was pronounced a public enemy. Number one. Here's the last point in this, talking about the account of the story, the proclamation of providential delivery. Verses 16 through 23. If you read all that, and we did read it already, I'm not going to read it again. But the king sought for a way to deliver Daniel. He wanted Daniel to be delivered. But he could not. His hands were tied. His hands were tied. Therefore, he had to cast Daniel into the den of lions. Would Daniel be delivered? Well, the king prophesied that he would in verse number 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. But Darius didn't really know God. Darius making this prophecy, whether or not, and by the way, it did come true. God may have made that prophecy through that Darius. I'm not saying that that wasn't the case, but I'm just simply, that I believe it was probably wishful thinking. Daniel, I love you. You've not done me wrong. These men really are the ones that have done me wrong, and they trapped me into this. Now I've got to throw you in that den of lions. And maybe he said, I'm praying that God would deliver you. That being the idea. But he pronounced that God would deliver him. Darius even spent the night fasting and abstaining from entertainment. No music playing. Didn't even turn the radio on. Allowed no instruments of music. Here's what I believe. And was sleepless through the night. Verse number 18 through 20 tells us. Spending that night in fasting, in sleeplessness, in worry, and in doubt. If there would be such deliverance. He said it would happen, but he wasn't sure it would. Amen. Makes me wonder if Darius was praying. If he's fasting, fasting goes with prayer. If he is praying, asking God to deliver this man. But when the king and his men called out to Daniel early in the next morning, they found him still living. Amen. They found him still living. They found him still patriotic. He said, oh, king, live forever. He wasn't mad at the king. He didn't say, I know my rights. He didn't say, I want an attorney. I want to, you know, go and get this figured out. No, he said, oh, king, live forever. He knew the king wasn't guilty. It was the people that had manipulated him. Amen. Daniel was still living. Daniel was still patriotic. Amen. Daniel was still faithful to the king. Daniel was still giving glory to his God. Here's what Daniel said. Let's look at it here. We go in verse number, let me start at verse 20. And when he came, this is the king, came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, that sorrowful, saddened voice, unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able, underline that word, able to deliver thee from the lions. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel. One, just one. That ain't two angels. That's not multiple angels. One angel, amen. Thank God, amen. Might have been that guardian angel. Amen. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver them. Amen. Let me get it back. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. Woo! Boy, some lions, I'd like to see their mouths shut, wouldn't you? That they have not hurt me. For as somebody said, God gave them lions a lockjaw. They let Daniel lay down there and take him a little cat nap. Without getting nipped by the cats. I don't know how he did. But somebody said this, and it may be true. Looks like Daniel might have slept better in that den of lions than the king did in his posh palace. I'm telling you, you can go through the storm and the grace of God, the peace of God that passes understanding can help you rest better through the storm than other people that seem to never have any problems. Yeah. Amen. That's God that can do that. I thank God he can. Amen. He cried out. Let me get back there. I get too excited about this. It's a blessing to me. Amen. We find my place again. Verse number 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me for as much As before him, innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He said, God knows it, and you know it, king. I didn't do you wrong. I didn't do you wrong. Listen. They said, Daniel, you can't pray to any god except Darius. Darius is God for 30 days. Well, Daniel knew that Darius wasn't God, even them 30 days. He wasn't God. And so, is Daniel breaking his law? So you can't pray to any god except Darius. Darius is God. Well, Darius ain't God. So are you breaking the law when you pray to the only one that really is God? You following me? So Daniel prayed to his God, who he knew was God. And by the way, Darius knew now. Darius knows he's not God, but Daniel's God is God. He knows that. Amen. Matter of fact, he recognized that, makes a decree, goes on, and proclaims that throughout the land. Amen. That Daniel's God is the only God. Amen. Amen. Well, although these legislators had attempted to make Darius feel like a god for at least 30 days, he found out very fast that his hands were tied and that Daniel's God was the only true and living God. Amen. Now here's my last point. Now I'm going to be done here and I'll give you my title. My last point is talking about the application of the story. I'm going to look at verse number 19 and 20, and that's where I'm going to bring my message to a close. I'm preaching on this with this theme. What will your answer be? What will your answer be? Look with me again at verse number 19. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God able, thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the den of lions? Amen. What will your answer be? You know, the Bible says we ought to be ready to give an answer to them that ask. Them that ask is about the hope of our calling. We ought to be ready to give an answer. Now, I do find it amazing that this heathen king found Daniel so patriotic, so faithful to his God, that the king must have envied Daniel, respected him at the same time. Amen. The king got up early in the morning, hurried down to the den of lions, to see how things was going with Daniel. He called out with evident emotion, evident in his voice, lamentable, his voice breaking, maybe you'd say cracking with emotion. Amen. To see if there's any answer from Daniel. Would he hear a moan? Would he hear a groan? No, he didn't hear any moaning and groaning. He didn't hear any weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When he called out to Daniel, what he heard was Daniel's voice loud and clear. O king, live forever. Amen. Now here's when he called out to Daniel. He doesn't ask if Daniel was able to evade the lions. Were you able to stay away from them through the night? He didn't ask if Daniel was able to overpower the hungry lions. He asked if Daniel's God had proven able to deliver him from the hungry lions. Amen. I say thankfully and probably surprisingly to Darius in that crowd, Daniel was able to answer back in the affirmative. Yes, my God has delivered me. Amen. Now here's where I'm tying this up. Does put this application, how does it fit to you and I? We're living in a land that we might very well call a den of lions. The Bible talks about Satan as a roaring lion, walking about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. If you would say that the devils, we say lesser devils, I don't know exactly how you, Satan being, looks like the leader of them, but then there's devils, I don't know how many there are, but there's devils out there that would be lions, I'd think as well, and there's multiple, maybe even multitudes of them in our world today. We're living in a den of lions. And one of these days, listen to me, one of these days when the night is past, when the world's been troubled and night is past and the morning sun rises on that judgment day, there's going to be a voice call out to you and me. He's going to say, O Pharaoh, was thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from this den of lions? What will my answer be? When he calls out to you, Put your name there. Oh, fill in the blank. Was thy God able to deliver thee? Or, by the way, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the den of lions? What will your answer be? Can you, amen, on that day when we stand before Almighty God in judgment, can we say with an affirmative, God delivered me from the den of lions. Amen. God shut the mouth of my enemy. God found me faithful. God found me pure. Amen. You said, preacher, you bragging on your purity? No, I'm bragging on Christ because He is my salvation. Amen. Amen. He is my righteousness. Amen. He is all that we've got to hope in, all we've got to trust in. And so I'm asking you, really, boiling it down, who do you serve? Who are you trusting in? This world, they think they're God at least for 30 days. At least for a time span. They think they're God, but they're not. They're fools if they think they're God. Our job is to serve God continually. Trust God. Submit to Him. Let's stand to our feet. As they come with a song, I want to ask you, would you please examine your own heart? Would you check up on your profession? Would you check up on your service unto God? Is it a service, a life of faithfulness? Is it a life of trust in the living God? Do you need to come pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that we've tried to preach this morning. And Lord, as I said, though it's very familiar text, familiar story to probably every one of us, Lord, I pray that you'd help bring it home to us, help us realize we're in a den of lions. We've been trapped in this old world. The enemy's laying trap after trap after trap after trap. But if we're really saved, our God is able to deliver us. Lord, if there's some sinner here today, they're caught in the trap. They've been deceived. They've been flattered and they've fallen into the trap. But there's a God in heaven that's able to deliver them through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If they'd come to Him in faith and repentance, believing God, they could be saved. Lord, I pray that happen even now in this time of invitation. We ask it in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Amen. As you remain standing, some are praying. Maybe you'd like to come pray. We're going to sing a verse of song. If you need to come, would you obey the Lord?